sweeping the eastern third of the nation is being committed by creatures who feast upon the flesh of their victims.
The world ended, didn't you get the memo?
They're dead, and you're gonna be next.
Wake up! Time to die.
It's a full moon. Beware the moon, and stick to the road. Oops.
I vote we get back to the slaughtered lamb.
Yeah.
You'll never grow old, Michael, and you'll never die. But you must feed.
My little brother, a goddamn shit-sucking vampire. Will you wait till Mom finds out, buddy?
Detail, I guess I forgot to mention. You die, you lose.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn with my partner, the infamous MJ.
No more wire hangers!
Oh! That was a bad movie. I mean, nasty.
That was a bad, yeah. Yes, if you can't tell this week, we will be talking about bad parents.
And that should be on the list, because she was horrible.
Horrible. Yeah, that was really... Yeah, she was really wicked, too. She was abusive as hell.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that in a few minutes here. We're going to start things off with our Screams of the Week, because, you know, we kind of miss doing that.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, coming off of last week, the big news story that came out last week, unfortunately, we got to redo it again, because another director has passed on. Not as well known as Wes Craven, but then again, how many people are? This was a shock. Polish director Marcin Rona was found dead in his hotel room just over this past couple of days. I think it was Friday. Now, Rona kind of new to the scene. He was working on his third film. Matter of fact, he was in Toronto to promote his third film called Demon at the Toronto International Film Festival when he unfortunately passed on. And again, because this news story is so fresh when we're podcasting, we don't exactly know what his cause of death was yet. But just to let you guys know, the movie Demon is going to come out, I think, later this year, actually. It's his third film, and it deals with a Diebuch. Those of you who don't know, that's a Jewish spirit that haunts the living. And this spirit goes around Poland and trying to help everybody come to terms with World War II. Basically, it's a spirit from Auschwitz and just haunts Poland, trying to figure everything out.
Looks young.
Yeah, 47.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm sorry. 40,
younger.
Yeah, 42. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
I'm not very familiar with his work, so...
I haven't heard of him either.
No, and like I said, this is his third movie. This was supposed to be the one that actually put him on the map. And I hope it works out. Me being a big World War II guy, I'm probably going to end up seeing it anyways. But yeah, we just wanted to throw out, you know, condolences to Marcin Rona's family. Because once again, we start off another podcast with another horror director passing away.
Wow.
So, but here's another one. In moving on to a lighter note, and actually a funnier note. It looks like the last person on the face of the earth you ever thought would be in a Ghostbusters reboot, has confirmed.
Bill Murray.
Nope. Even
who?
Less likely to show up than him. Ernie Hudson.
Ernie?
Mm-hmm.
Ernie's signing on? I thought
Ernie
it was... His whole big thing was, basically, he almost said, fuck the Ghostbusters.
Well, he's pretty much come out in interviews and said, Ghostbusters ruined my life.
Yeah.
But no, Ernie Hudson, it's not confirmed what role he'll play, but he is in Paul Frake's reboot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like I said, that's literally the last person you would expect to be to be in a Ghostbusters movie after, especially after what he said.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, that's a little weird. That's all. Another quick story here coming out. Silent Hill Live.
What?
Yes, there is a Silent Hill Live. It's a tour, and the tour will see Akira Yamakoa and his live band performing several of the Silent Hill titles. You know, that's a big thing these days.
Hmm.
Is the orchestras and bands, stuff like that. They like to cover the video games.
It does now. Bring in money.
Oh, it does. Just to let you guys know, here's the schedule of what Silent Hill Live will be. It'll be in Bristol. This is all UK, by the way. This is a UK tour. This is not the United States. Bristol on October the 29th. Cardiff, October the 30th. Two dates in London. The October 31st, the Halloween. You would think the Halloween would have sold out.
Mm-hmm.
It has not. October 31st will be in London at the Islington Assembly Hall. You can still pick up tickets. November 1st is sold out. That one's at the Laundry in London. November 2nd in Southampton. November 3rd has been sold out. That's in Manchester. There will be a second Manchester date. November the 5th is still open. That's going to be at the Gorilla. The Glasgow Art School on November the 4th. And November the 6th, it'll be The Haunt in Brighton.
Nice.
So go to ctickets.com if you're a UK Silent Hill fan.
Just wow.
Thought I'd throw that out there. Because, like I said, that's one of the big things lately is, you know, you get all these guys that love to put out the orchestras with the video games, and the video game music is, I think now is just as essential as any music in a movie these days. I honestly, there's a lot of horror games that end up getting bought because of the scenery and the music that goes along with it. I know that's why Grand Theft Auto is still huge.
Yes.
They put in great music.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And be on the lookout for Crimson Peak. Now, we've talked about this before. I'm excited about it because it's Guillermo del Toro. And, of course, we know Tom Hiddleston is the star of this movie.
So, Hiddles.
Yeah, I don't think you can get too much perfection in this. Or,
nope.
Or beyond this much perfection. And you know, for a fact, and all the images I've seen, and everything I've seen with it, this movie is going. I have extremely high expectations for this movie.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
Pressure's on.
Pressure is definitely on. So, anyways, that's what's going on there. Anything else you got?
No, I don't have anything this time.
Okay, well then we'll just head on into some music here, and we'll be back to talk about bad parents in horror films.
Guns are so impersonal and artless.
If you want to hurt someone intimately, you have to get up close and personal.
You're listening to EMZT Radio.
The dirty rats, all the dirty rats.
Yeah. Live people ignore the strange and unusual. I myself am strange and unusual.
Hi, this is Dr. Death and Mr. Vile, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
And now it's for the main topic. We are talking about bad parents in horror movies.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy. I got a few articles, too.
We're going to have fun with this. All right.
Yes.
So who's
first your number? We had the bad kids. Now it's time for the parents' turn.
It is. It's time for the bad parents. And I guess we both have a top 10 list. So
I have a few.
Okay. Well, let's start out with one that made my number 10 was Mommy and Daddy from The People Under the Stairs.
Yeah.
These guys, okay. They were horrible. Not only that, but they were also brother and sister.
Yeah, ew.
Yeah, I think a lot of people forget about that. And sorry, Tate, Daddy was the original one that loved to put on the rubber suit. When he's killing people.
I know. That was just weird.
I think that might have been where they actually got the inspiration on American Horror Story to put Tate in the rubber suit.
Probably.
Was from Daddy, from the People Under the Stairs. Mommy wasn't that nice either, to be honest with you.
No, she had this thing for scalding hot baths.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yes, very much.
Yeah. That was a weird kind of movie that, okay, mommy and daddy wanted to be parents, so they'd go out to the neighborhood, kidnap kids to be the perfect child. Of course,
when
kids at that time were not going to be the cookie cutter type of kid they wanted. Just, of course not.
Right.
So into the cellar they threw them to become animals. Ugh. And they fed them on leftovers. Yeah, they fed them on leftovers of people they captured. And I always wondered about the end of that movie and People Under the Stairs. After the kids were freed, how would they live their life? I mean, their eyes are permanently black from being in the dark. Their skin isn't quite human anymore. They didn't look human anymore for being under the stairs for so long. So, I mean,
they were almost they were almost feral children by the end of the movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's just... That was one of the weirdest movies I had ever seen.
Wes Craven, thank you.
Yeah, of course we have to start it out with Wes Craven. Well, then I put number 9, and we're going to have to skip number 9 and come back to that, because we probably just need to have a separate podcast, just for her crappy parenting.
Huh.
But I put Lori Grimes at number 9.
Oh,
who
nice.
Who might be the worst parent in horror, in the whole horror genre anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest here. All right. I thought I knew I said we were going to skip it, but screw it. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it. Your husband's in a coma. The zombie apocalypse has broken out. All hell is broken loose. Atlanta is dusted. Okay,
and
cool.
And she thought he might as well be dead. I mean,
right.
Who was going to survive that?
I mean, Shane pretty much put it in her head that he's dead. I understand. You want to get over, and hey, it's a great thing to think about. Your husband's best friend, who knows the family better, right? Oh, yeah, did we mention that little part where Shane turns into a stone-cold psycho?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we kind of forgot about that, didn't we?
Yeah, he kind of lost his marbles in there somewhere.
But then, at the camp, once again, you of all people at the camp, Dale, you want Dale to babysit your kid? God bless Dale, but man, the man is a few Fruit Loops shy of a bowl of cereal here.
Yeah.
And oh yeah, there's this whole, oh look, there's a zombie horde attacking the camp. Hey,
oops.
Has anybody seen Carl? And I mean, this becomes almost, it was funny at first. It was kind of, I don't know if they meant for this to be comic relief or what, but Kirkman then just went annoying with it. Because it was like in every episode, oh crap, where's Carl? Carl would just run off and run off and run off. I'm not saying Rick is the parent of the year either, okay?
Mm-mm.
Especially when he returns. He's a little bit too focused on trying to knock Shane off.
Yeah.
But okay. So we go through the first two seasons of, oh my God, where's Carl? What was the end game? Oh yeah, Carl got shot and almost died.
Yeah.
That's great parenting right there. I mean, Let me go back and say she's not the most horrible mother in horror history. She might be the most irresponsible mother in horror history. But the good news is we got to season three. We got to the prison. And now we have Judith on the way. And she actually wants to be a parent now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically what I took out of the first two seasons is, oh, God, I have a child in the zombie apocalypse. Oh, woe is me. I don't want to be a parent. I'm not ready to adult.
Yeah.
And it was, oh, crap, where's Carl? Where's Carl? They should have made a book. Where's Carl?
He's not here. He's not there. We can't see Carl anywhere.
But anyways, I thought it was fitting. Lori's end was completely fitting for her.
Yeah.
I mean, this right here is true horror movie style. Judith makes her bleed out. She had some kind of complication with Judith.
Yeah.
And it's Carl that ends up having to put the knife between her eyes.
Right.
So.
Right. I mean, poor Carl. We know how all shades of messed up he's going to be the further along we get into this Walking Dead series.
Well, supposedly they're going, from what I've seen off of some of the spoiler sites. Yes, I read spoiler sites, people. No, I don't particularly care what you think of me. But I do, it's called show research. Anyways, some of these spoiler sites have said they're going back even closer to the comics. So, Carl may not have both hands by the end of the season.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm just saying. And like I said, and let me parse this real quick. This is not a crap on Lori fest here, but it, you know, Rick. Like I said, Rick in season two, not the best parent in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. He's not winning Father of the Year.
No.
All right.
He had to take care of all these people. I mean, they basically put him in charge, and he's supposed to do everything. I mean, I can understand why he would kind of lose it every now and then.
Well, yeah, but for most of season two, Shane was still in control of the group.
Well, trying to.
Yeah, trying to, and then losing his mind at the same time. And Rick seemed a little bit too preoccupied with trying to kill Shane.
Yeah.
And if you really think about it. Then again, Shane seemed a little too preoccupied to kill Rick.
Yeah.
Turnabout's fair play. All right, my number eight is Grace Stewart from The Others.
Yeah, that is, yeah, what a parent.
You know,
she kept those kids on lockdown. I mean, they couldn't do shit.
Then there was, you know, then there was a Book of the Dead, and then there were some pictures, and then she just killed everybody.
Yeah.
So now the children are haunting the house.
That's what we found out was that Grace went a little psycho, lost her shit, and killed the kids.
All right, my number seven was a little controversial because I don't know if you can call him a bad parent. He was a horrible person in the movie, but I don't really know if you can call him a bad parent because, again, we don't know the backstory.
Yeah.
Harry Cooper from Night of the Living Dead. He was a jerk.
He was the jerk of the movie.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think he actually had a pretty solid plan.
Mm-hmm.
You go in the basement, you stay in the basement, hopefully you can ride it out, the cops will find you in the morning.
That's not a bad plan.
But just the jerky way he stuck to it was, no, this is the plan, we're not altering from it, blank you all.
Yep.
Now, in the end, he could have been right.
Well, actually, he was, actually.
Well, because everybody ends up dying in the end. Spoiler alert, if you've never seen this movie. But why I put him on the list of bad parents is, oh yeah, your daughter has been bit by a zombie, and she's in the process of turning while you've decided to barricade yourself in the basement.
Yeah.
Not a very smart, I mean, granted, yes, okay, is it a smart idea? Yes, but when you have a child that's about to turn, not so smart.
Not so smart. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And he was in denial that she was in the process of turning, too. I mean, he was adamantly in denial that she was not going to be fine.
Yeah, she was just going to recover from this quick and blah, 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 blah. But again, the reason why it's a controversial pick is because we don't really know how she got bit. We don't really know that much about the Coopers. But judging by...
Other than it sounded like as they were getting away, the kid might have got caught and got bit.
Yeah. I mean, other than the way he treated his wife, which wasn't that great, I think...
But that's a sign of the times. That's a sign of the times back then.
Yeah, that was, you know, we're talking, you know, early 1960s. You know, the man of the house was the man of the house. I just came back from the war. You need to listen to me. I was in the war. That sort of thing. But again, like I said, we don't know the Cooper's backstory. It's basically what I'm saying. And they didn't really have much of a chance to give you a backstory on them, on anybody, really.
Yeah.
I mean, we just knew about a couple of them, especially with Johnny. Most of them, we gotta get Johnny. That was the only, I'm serious when I say this, that was the first person, she was the first person I ever cheered biting it.
Really?
In a horror movie. Yeah. She was, because she was just so adamant about going to get Johnny. We have to get Johnny. No, Johnny's a freaking zombie, dummy.
Yeah. But I liked also the remake. They made her character a little stronger. She ended up flipping her switch, and she became into survival. She became smarter after she got over the shock of her brother. So, yeah.
Well, see, that's the whole thing. She never really got over it in the original.
Yeah. No, she was well, sign of the times.
Yep.
Women were weaker back
women
then.
Women were seen, not heard.
Yeah. And they weren't... They weren't, like, raised to be, you know, strong enough to do situations. I mean, granted, a zombie apocalypse is kind of a messed up situation, and all the rules are out the window other than to keep yourself safe.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
All right. And my number six was Mrs. Loomis.
Oh! Yeah!
Mrs. Loomis. And
now talk about the ultimate in bad parenting. I mean, she takes off because her husband was having an affair with the main character's mother.
Yep.
But then comes back because she's trying to avenge Billy, who got killed because he was a killer in the first movie.
And then we find out that, well, Billy got abandoned, which turned him into a killer.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I would have slapped that woman. I'm like, are you serious? Really?
She was awful.
Really?
Just an awful, awful human being.
And they didn't recognize her because apparently she looked way different when they knew her. So that's how she got to slide in under the radar there.
Yep. My number five was Jerry Blake from The Stepfather.
Yes.
Again, what is it? Your stepdad goes on a psychotic rant. He probably murdered his former family. We never find out about his old family, right?
Well, all we know, which he did a partial therapy scene. I forget, in number two, where he talks about his life before and mm-hmm. how he was raised was the dad. Even if it's a stepdad, he's supposed to keep the family together. He's supposed to, you know, take care of the family. But Jerry was a little twisted. If his family wasn't doing what he wanted, he just would kill them and go find a new one.
Yeah, that's exactly what he would. And that's,
yeah.
But you know, he has to save everybody's soul. That's the problem.
But that shows his time of being raised and all that was probably back in the 50s and 60s times where men were the rulers of the house. Everyone was supposed to obey the dad.
The men were men.
Everybody was supposed to obey dad. But I don't know where in the 50s that, you know, if your family doesn't do what you say, just kill them and go get a new one.
Oh, yeah.
It'll get better, I'm sure.
It'll get better. And, yes. I have a sparkling one here for number four. And a lot of people are going to say she needs to be higher. Pamela Voorhees.
Oh.
Jason's mammy.
Okay. Well, now that's an interesting lady, too.
She's very interesting, but I think, you know, I think there actually is a defense for her. You know, a lot of people forget she had Jason at 16.
Yeah.
So maybe she got a little cuckoo after having a child at 16. Jason wasn't exactly the greatest child in the world.
And plus, he was handicapped, we would say the PC term. He was handicapped.
Hydrocephalus, I think, is
yes
what he had.
Yeah.
Pamela was completely overprotective.
Mm-hmm. But she also felt guilty after he died, I'm sure, because she sent him off to camp she didn't keep an eye on him. Oh, but she also worked at the camp during the time.
She was
trying to keep an eye on him, but she missed a step somewhere, and he ended up drowning. So,
yeah, that's exactly what happened.
And then she lost her nuts.
Yes, she completely lost her marbles.
For the whole, every time the family that owned the campgrounds, every time they tried to fix it up or reopen, Pamela was definitely there sabotaging everything to keep any more kids from going to camp.
Yep.
Because she felt that they were, you know, it was bad because her kid got killed and another one could possibly get killed. So she was sort of trying to help out, but in the end, it just didn't quite work out.
Didn't quite work out, nope. All right, where are we at here? Number three? Oh, yeah. Sorry. No, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and it was in the later parts of the series, it was like implied that she might have also went towards the supernatural route to bring Jason back because she wanted her son back. So it was implied that she did some sort of black magic or something just to give it a, you know, just to try in like an act of desperation.
Yep. All right, we're up to number three now, and again, some people might say he deserves to be number one. Krug Stilo, Last House on the Left.
Oh yeah, I was like, that name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Oh my god. Do we really need to go down the list of his crimes?
I forgot that was father and son in there. That's right.
Yep. It's
right.
If I have a son, I don't think raping and disemboweling two teens is the way I'm going to bond with them. I'm just saying.
What a dad.
Oh, by the way, not only that, your best friend is a child molester.
Yeah.
Was it Krug's girlfriend or was it Junior's girlfriend that was a sadist?
I think it was Junior's.
Yeah, I think you might be right. So your son's dating a sadist. You know, of course we have to help them break out of a mental asylum. Yada yada. Yeah. Oh, by the way.
Yeah, that little crew was like perfect for each other because they all were totally nuts, psycho, and just a great little band to, you know, go around and kidnap, rape, murder, mutilate, torture. Oh, sure.
Oh, by the way, did we mention he actually convinced his son to commit suicide?
Oh, yeah.
You know, great job.
Yeah.
Anyways, Krug was another one that you had to stand up and applaud when he finally met his end via chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that's another one of those movies where you're cheering death again. It's so anyways, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dad of year.
Now, this one's kind of a more recent one, but this guy was a purity a-hole. Chris Cleek from The Woman. Have you seen this? I actually watched this a couple weeks ago.
Yes, I've seen that.
Okay, well, first, he's a lawyer. Well,
number one, yeah.
Yeah, you could see Chris Cleek as number one as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty obvious who my number one is. But Chris Cleek, this guy, you know, burns a woman with scalding hot water, uses a power wash on her. What a guy.
Oh, man, I know.
Yeah, he then does...
And kept her chained in that barn. Just that alone. Just kept the lady chained in the barn to torture her. What?
Oh,
someone's not right in the head there.
Yeah. And again, another one we all just decided to cheer when he decided to bite the dust.
Yeah.
You remember how he met his end, though?
No, actually, I forgot.
Some chick ripped his heart out.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Some chick just decided to, you know, you don't need this anymore.
And then the woman adopted his kids.
Yeah. Who were not exactly right in the head either.
No.
All right. So my number one, I think she speaks for herself, Margaret White.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. A lot of people know I have problems with religion as it is. But
mm-hmm.
this woman, yeah, she's the psychotic Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, let's put it this way. This is the same woman that had premarital sex with Carrie's father, which, by the way, resulted in Carrie. And she tried to kill herself because she had premarital sex.
Yeah. Because that was part of her religion. So.
And then there was confessions.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret admitted that she liked being raped by her husband.
Yeah.
Just let that sink in for a minute. And again, yeah. it all has to do with the religion, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Which is a total twisted religion. Oh, my God. Just alone when she's quoting whatever Bible verses she got from someone else's Bible about Adam and Eve and all that. It was totally twisted.
Yes. Yeah. And I live in the southeast. Mm-hmm. I've seen this. There are some real life Carries, okay? I'm not even making this up. There are real life Carries.
I wouldn't doubt it. Now see, I think Piper Laurie was like the perfect one to play Margaret, because did you read the story, Carrie? Did you read the book?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Because I think she really embodied Margaret White, to where the remake with Julianne Moore, it didn't work, because she's too pretty. She's not, because Margaret White in the book, she was a menacing looking woman, and she was strong, like physically strong, because she worked at a laundry, to where she's, you know, the old laundry, what was it? The iron, the big giant flat irons, which take an enormous amount of strength to pull down to do the sheets. And in the book, it said she was really, really physically strong. So Piper Laurie was the right, you know, the right size and everything for that. She looked, I mean, she was perfectly menacing without being, you know, menacing.
Without being menacing, yeah. Oh, man, that was just one twisted, messed up movie, and that's exactly why I like horror movies today. That Carrie actually got me addicted to horror movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on my little list, we have Rachel Keller from The Ring.
Oh, yeah, she was a...
Well, because in the first Ring movie, she was a journalist, always gone, always out for the story, not really caring about Aiden, you know, because he ended up being, I think this is why he ended up being self-sufficient, and he was like, what, 8 years old? Mm-hmm. You know, he could do, and he was highly intelligent. You can hear it by the way he talked. It sounded like he had to learn to take care of himself, because mom was always busy. And towards the end, she was realizing, when he ended up watching the video, she was realizing, oh my God, I'm going to lose my kid if I don't do something. And then in the sequel, they were trying to do a fresh start, you know, to be mom and son. So, and she showed she wasn't kind of great at that. She couldn't cook.
But she tried. That's the whole point.
She tried, but it almost seems at the second movie, it was almost a little too late for her to step up and be mom, because Aiden, he sort of had to like try to be and it wasn't quite working. But then he gets possessed in the second one, so
yeah.
Margaret White also made my list, and Jerry Blake. How about Nathan Grantham?
Oh, God.
From Creepshow.
Oh, yes.
Now, I went and bought the comic for this.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently there was a comic before the movie came out, or it might have been after. But the backstory on that was Nathan Grantham, his family has this tendency to have unnaturally long lives. Like, they were well into their hundreds before anything debilitating happened, like Nathan ended up having a heart attack. But he was like I think the comic book said something about 184. And he had a heart attack, and Bedelia had to take care of him. And she was like in her 60s or 70s by the time she did that. And he was a domineering, mean old bastard. I mean, but he was like almost 200 years old by the time that happened. So it sounded like there was a conspiracy between Bedelia and Sylvia to when Bedelia killed Nathan. So there was a conspiracy to cover it all up. They made it look like he just fell over and he died. So, but his thing was Father's Day. He always had to have a cake. Bedelia always made a cake. But after she killed him, he came back from the dead to get the damn cake because it's his day. How about Jack Torrance from The Shining?
Oh, of course Jack Torrance should be there.
I
think I purposely left him off the list. Because he deserves to be on another whole other plane of existence. Looks like this goes.
Yeah, now The Shining movie, it's kind of screwed up because from the incident they kept talking about with when he grabbed Danny and apparently, like, broke his arm, it was like 3 years. But when they were in the hotel, he was only sober for what? 6 months?
6 months, yeah.
So, but the incident where he said he stopped drinking was 3 years ago. So, but he's the ultimate in bad parenting because he had a little drinking problem and anger issues. I mean,
yeah, thank.
Wow. So, yeah, we know what happened to him. He was easily influenced by the hotel to kill Danny because Danny, had his shining power. So, yeah, not so great, Daddy. Frailty.
I don't remember that movie.
Oh, that's right. His last name was Meeks. That supposedly an angel told him that he and his family were chosen to kill demons, which happened to be in the bodies of people. And one of the sons didn't agree with Dad because he didn't think these people they were punishing or killing were demons. I mean, they were people. Mm-hmm. But Dad was very adamant that he was looking at demons in these people, and these people had to be killed.
Yes.
So, but it was all about, it was his religion. So, he was not a great parent. Plus, you know, he threw that one kid in that cellar for, I don't know how many days. It was like weeks, couple of weeks. So, yeah. Not a good daddy. Even though he tried. I'm sure he tried. We have Don Harris from 28 Weeks Later.
Oh, God.
Now, I don't know if anybody remembers, but this guy left his wife to a horde of the infected just to save his own ass.
Yes. Not only a horrible father, a horrible, horrible husband.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and he wasn't great with his kids either.
No. He kind of took survivor's remorse to a whole nother level.
Yeah. And but then he ended up being like the lead zombie or the lead infected. I shouldn't say zombie. These were not zombies by the, you know, usual definition because they didn't die. It was just rage infected.
Yes.
But he ended up being like the lead infected leading the horde because somehow, you know, in their rage infection, your brain does start working a little bit for reasoning and strategizing. Mm-hmm. And that's
you're not dead, and reasoning and strategy are still base, you know, traits.
Well, yeah,
I mean, they're not you know, our fight or flight traits, but they're on the next level. It requires a little bit of congenitive thinking, but not a whole lot.
But in this rage infection, it sounded like, you know, nothing really is thought of except, you know, to kill and to eat, so.
Well, that's most of America today anyways.
Well, yeah. Let's see, what else? Yeah, I did have Margaret White on mine.
It's not really a horror movie because it's a Tarantino film. What about Mallory's parents from Natural Born Killers?
Right! Yes! They were super horrible. I mean, Rodney Dangerfield was just awesome. I mean, we've known him as a comedian, but he nailed that role as the abusive father and husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it was implied that he was,
it was more than implied.
Raping his daughter. Well, yeah, but that he was raping his daughter and always
prostituting her at one point, wasn't
he? Yeah, yes, for his buddies, yes.
Yeah.
And then the mom just turned a blind eye to anything. She wouldn't acknowledge anything going on. She'd just go about her business.
Yeah. I mean, I bring that up because it really is a grindhouse film. So, I mean, it kind of fits in the horror genre. But he was, and you're right. They were, not just him, both of them, were completely hard people. And they got what they deserved. I mean, I'm sorry, they did. They got what they deserved. Mickey did a good number.
Yeah, those deaths were definitely ones I agree with. And I was actually amazed that she let her little brother go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was too.
What about Doctor's Block from Planet Terror?
Oh, God. He was
talking about grindhouse films.
He was a jerk.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Husband and wife were both horrible parents. Because
absolutely worst.
Yeah, because what happened was mommy gave son a gun and said, don't put it to your head. I mean, how stupid is that? The kid was what, six?
Well, that's practical advice. I mean, let's be honest.
Well,
it is practical advice.
But sure. But think about the kid's age. He was like 6 or 7 years old. Of course he's going to put it to his head.
Oh, damn.
And because of her, her kid gets killed. And, but her husband, what a twisted nut job.
dude was not sane. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. But of course, his wife's secret lesbian affair, which he knew about, just didn't help either.
Yeah.
With Fergie!
Fergie. That's the main reason why we watched that movie. We just wanted to see if Fergie would get naked just once. Tarantino, we're on to you.
Yep.
damn.
Yeah. Hang on. Yeah, I got Krug on my list. My internet's acting funny today.
What about, what about the parents' House of a Thousand Corpses? We don't know a lot about them, though, do we?
Which, in The Devil's Rejects, we find out Captain Spaulding is the dad that Mama Firefly was talking about.
So would you put Captain Spaulding on your list?
Well, I don't know. Cause
to me, he was kind of the good guy.
Yeah, in the movie, he seemed like he was a pretty caring dad.
Yeah, I would keep Captain Spaulding off the list. I mean, he did kind of seem like he was a good guy.
Yeah.
In that movie.
I mean, in Devil's Rejects, he did take care of the family. He'd take care of the kids, you know? And Mama Firefly, she was doing the same thing. She was trying to take care of her kids. But it's just, you know, so they raised the kids to be these serial killers and... they kidnap and torture and mutilate and make art with the people they kidnap.
Well, who doesn't, right?
Yeah. No, so they, yeah, I wouldn't put them on the list except for their parenting ideas.
Yeah.
That'd be the only thing I question. I have Guy Woodhouse from Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, Guy Woodhouse. Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah. Because, giving your wife to be a sacrifice and a vessel for Satan's seed. Well, the devil's seed.
Whatever.
Not a good guy.
What about... Oh, I got a good one. I got a good one.
Okay.
Damien from the Omen... I think the Omen 3.
But he wasn't dad.
Yes, he was. In the Omen 3?
Mm-mm. Right. Right. No, technically before, because he did have the Okay, now that was interesting. So he did have a daughter, but she carried her brother inside her. Like, she carried him in her womb until he could be implanted. So that was pretty interesting. But he wasn't really a... He didn't get to be a dad, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he'd be a really... he'd probably be a kind of a... He'd sort of be a good dad because his whole plan was to, you know, be the Antichrist. And if he couldn't, then his spawn would do it. So, maybe. I don't know. Now, I didn't get to see Sinister, but it has Ellison Oswalt, the Ethan Hawke's character.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they put him on the list because the house that he moved his family into was a total scene of horrific violence and murder. So, yes, move your family in so they can be subjected to it, too.
Yeah, you got a point.
Yeah.
You know, the one person we completely forgot? I don't know if we forgot her, but she should have been on the list somewhere. Norma Bates.
Oh, the ultimate of bad mommies.
Mommy.
Now, this was a very twisted woman. She, raising Norman, apparently she sort of made him into like a pseudo-husband type of deal. Because she would have Norman sleep in bed with her.
Yeah, now, I will say this. This is where the TV show... I'm not a big fan of the TV show Bates Motel. It's good. Yeah, it's good, but it's not really that great. But they did do a good job of explaining the backstory
mm-hmm.
of what really went on with them. And she was a widow. I guess she was a widower.
Yes.
And she kind of didn't take it too well.
Nope.
I mean, that's the most blunt way of saying it. She didn't take it too well. And you're right. She basically turned... She had abandonment issues.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not want Norman dating as a child. I mean, we see that. We see a lot of that in Bates Motel.
Yeah. She hates any of the girls he hangs out with. Ugh.
Yeah, because she's afraid that he's going to leave mommy and never come back.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of pushes him to become as psychotic as her, basically.
Yeah, but she was using him also as like a husband replacement. I mean, ugh, to do that to your kid. Ew.
Yeah, it's a little creepy and disgusting.
Ew. And then smack him around when, you know, because he was getting into puberty. Mommy touching him the way she did, it kind of made his body do things, you know?
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, poor Norman. The ultimate in screwed up kids.
Absolutely. I don't think we could have done this podcast justice if we didn't at least mention her.
And apparently, she from the original movie, she didn't quite go away because Norman ended up keeping her as another personality.
By the end of the movie, Norman was Mother.
Yep. Yeah. And that was, did you love the ending where he's looking at the camera and he's talking in mommy's voice? And when it goes to fade out from his face turns into a skull. That was just beautiful. That was awesome. And that is our discussion of bad parents in horror movies.
Oh, my. Yeah, we'll be back to wrap this thing up here in a minute. Enjoy some music, damn it.
Congratulations. You are still alive. Most people are so ungrateful to be alive. But not you. Not anymore.
This is Lucan Wolf, and you're tuned in to the delightful darkness of EMZT Radio.
Thank you.
of the dark.
Then you know the woman in white.
He dies, you die.
Well, and it looks like we're going to wrap up another episode of EMZT Radio.
Yeah, and before we do, one of our biggest things is that we are supporters of independent horror. And we need to get back to something that we've kind of forgotten to do over a little bit, and that is promote indie horror projects that pique our interest, or somebody ask us nicely to promote them. And one of the things I was reading through Indiegogo, where you can find this, and there's a little thing called The Horror that's
the
being
horror.
Put on. Yes, that is being put on by DePaul University.
Where's that?
DePaul's drama class. This is in Chicago.
Okay.
The horror, and this is, I'm reading off from their Indiegogo page, is the horror is an ensemble created to have an immersive horror experience that explores the ideas of fear and audience choice. The style of show allows audience members to explore different characters and storylines by mentally and physically creating their own path through the experience. This can play out in many ways through voyeurism, audience tasks, and even one-on-one moments with the performers. Basically, it's a haunted house on steroids.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because it sounds like one of these almost extreme horror haunts I keep hearing about.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like a great idea. I guess what they want to do is basically bring in, they're going to do, the horror is back for round three, so this is their third year. And so I guess in this one they're going to forget the rules.
Uh-oh.
So to speak. But here's the interesting thing. I mean, this really does look very interesting, and I've always loved interactive haunted houses. And that's exactly what this looks like. Let's see here. They need set props, costumes, effects, marketing and advertising material, and audience goodies. So you can go over to their Indiegogo page right now. They're at $480. And they have, by the time this podcast goes out, probably about 3 or 4 days left. It's going to be done by the end of this week. Their goal is to get $800. So, again, it's not... It's a very modest goal. And
$800? Really?
$800. That's all they need. That's actually really good. I mean, that's a pretty good budget for a haunted house.
Yeah.
Except for the one around here. The one around here runs into the thousands. We're going to try to get them on next year.
Ooh, yeah.
Those of you who don't know, Creepy Hollow. You might even know Creepy Hollow. They're kind of known.
Sounds familiar.
They're very popular. Go to creepyhollow.net and check them out. Their theme this year is Saw.
Oh,
so Saw. They have a Saw house, but it's pretty cool. Let me get to the perks here, and I'll talk about Creepy Hollow real quick because I do a lot of their remotes from the studio. At $10, you get a button to show off as a thank you. At $25, you get a personalized invitation from a character. At $50, you get a voicemail greeting recorded for you after the performance by a cast member of your choice. That's very innovative, by the way. I like that.
Wow.
I wish a lot more people would do that. If you got an Indiegogo, I wish a lot more people would actually try that. And then $100, you get a choice of either a movie night or a Halloween outing with the entire cast.
Wow.
So again, very innovative, very cheap things you can do. Now, I'm not inexpensive. I'm sorry. There is a difference between inexpensive and cheap.
Right.
But getting back to this Creepy Hollow thing real quick here, because there are two. What they do is, and literally, this thing is in the middle of nowhere. It takes a good 50 minutes from where I work to get to Creepy Hollow.
Okay.
They put you on two buses. Or you actually have your choice of which bus you want to be on. One is your normal, spooky type deal. The other one they call the Masters of Horror. And they actually have, like, characters from Scream and I believe Jeepers Creepers. They even have a few of those characters. They come out, run up. And if you've ever been on a haunted house where they got a bus, you know what they do. They come up and try to attack the bus and all that. Pretty cool. So this year they have a Saw house, and I have not been told what is in it yet. They only opened up for last Friday night. Now, one of the people I work with is actually a DJ up there. So they have like a little after party you can go to and all that. When you go through the house and get off the haunted hayride, you can. And yes, by the way, we're still one of the few places that does a haunted hayride, although you've heard a lot of horror stories over the last few years about these haunted hayrides. Believe me, yeah. They are safer than what the news wants you to believe.
Yeah.
Okay. And not everybody's going to die on a haunted hayride.
No.
I swear to you, that's what it sounds like in the news these days, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Like every
only
truck
because those flips. Those are the people that don't go on these rides, and they're having they're regretting that they don't go. So of course they're going to trash talk it.
Yeah. Every time a truck flips and one or two people get killed. Yeah. Oh, these haunted hayrides, they've got to stop. But anyways, so yeah, they have like a little party after the haunted hayride, which is awesome because it's like a little teen club, you know. You can hang out there for a few hours, you know, dance around and you know, have some food and something to drink. And they do an outstanding job every year. I've been kind of wanting to get them on this podcast, so we definitely need a lot more of you guys to listen so they can get on here and really, you know, tell everybody what's going on. But I think it is, I'm not 100% sure about this, that it is one of the more well-known haunted houses in the country.
Oh, that would be great to talk to them.
Oh, absolutely. Because they do a great job, and I think they've got one of the people from Saw 3 out there.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Costas Mandalore.
Mandalore. Yes!
He's out there this year.
Nice! And they also...
Oh, that's the other bus. That's the other bus. What? The other bus was Zombie Breakout.
Zombie Breakout. Oh.
Dude, they... These guys, I mean, these guys, they tear it up. These, and it is a two-story haunted house.
Ooh.
Yep.
Ooh, that would be great.
The Creepers, yeah, the Jeepers Creepers bus ride and the Master of Horror bus ride.
Nice. I'm getting excited. I want to go to your end of the globe and go there for Halloween.
You know it's a great haunted house when there's actually a warning page.
Oh, there is.
There's a full page warning.
Whoa. Is it one of those extreme haunted houses? Is that what it is?
Oh, it's extreme. It's extreme.
Ooh, I don't know if I can handle that.
Yeah, tickets are cheap, though.
Well,
it's only, they have tickets are $15, but they have a fast pass.
Huh.
Yeah, this thing is actually big enough for where they have a fast pass.
Nice.
It's $32.
I'd say it's worth it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a, let's see, I'm trying to look and see here. There's a full concession stand, yeah, no group discounts.
No group discounts, that's what everybody else does. Like if there's a group of five or more, up to 10.
Well, what they do is you have to contact them first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, it's most of their attractions are outdoors, so, you know.
Well, of course.
If it rains, blah, blah, blah. Here's the cool part about it.
Hmm.
They don't really, quote unquote, close.
What?
Yeah, it's not like at 2 o'clock in the morning there's some jerk that's standing there going, it's 2, we need to go home. If they have a big crowd at 2 and more people show up, they'll be there till 2:30, they'll be there till 3 o'clock.
Are they going to be there till the last person goes through? Is that what you're saying?
Last person goes through.
Now that's
customer service.
That's customer service. Yeah. And wow.
$15 is all you pay to get in. Now, $15 gets you the haunted hayride, gets you the bus ride, and you get to go through the house.
Nice.
So please, tell me where you're going to find a better value than that.
So is that where you're going to go for Halloween?
I don't know. I might if I get some time to where I can. But yeah, it's creepyhollow.net, and creepy is spelled with a K.
Oh, cool. Ah, sounds like where I want to go.
Yes.
Yeah, the last thing I did was, it was a haunted maze, corn maze, and after you, I mean, it was, that wasn't extreme, but it was scary enough. And after you're done, you get sent to, they have like a concession stand area, they also have like a little mini market that they're selling stuff. I like how after the end of the maze, you get to like relax and have some fun, have something to eat, you know. Listen to some music.
Absolutely. You know, that's why I love this time of year. It's haunted house season.
Yeah.
Dadgummit. So there yeah. you go. That's all I got.
And we have Supernatural Fandom the Movie still going on Indiegogo.com. They're down to 24 days left. Trying to reach their goal of 50,000. They're at 43,589. So they are almost there. They still have 24 days left. And by the sound of this, it sounded like they already had talked to fans already. They already talked to the cast. It's just all a matter of, you know, the swag. Which you have, you know, you can get your copy of the DVD. You get stickers, poster, coffee mugs, things like that, t-shirts. So that is still going on. Check it out on Indiegogo.com, Supernatural Fandom the Movie.
Absolutely. All right, I guess we need to get out of here, don't we?
Yeah, well, I think we're done now.
All right.
And stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio.
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
And let me give you some advice. When you leave a man for dead, make sure he's really dead.
Red Rum! Red Rum! Red Rock!
Is she back home? Oh, murderer. I'm a freak. But here? Among the monsters? I'm normal. I like it here. I want to stay.
Oh, great, Valium. Not only will we be able to get to sleep, but if we're attacked in the middle of the night, we won't even care.